We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It is June. It's the 10th of June. It's 2021. It's Thursday, and we have six baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. That's how I used to introduce the show, and it used to drive people absolutely crazy. But with the 1,000th episode coming up later this month, I figured, why not throw it back for a second? Anyway, I'm joined today by Christy Metzer. What's happening, Christy? Creighton 12, right?
Creighton 12, you got it. Yeah.
I always forget the numbers on the back of people's names. I'm the worst with that.
Oh, that's all right. It's no big deal at all. Yeah, no, good to be back at the Morning Grind. Always love doing the show with you. And I didn't realize you were approaching episode 1,000 here shortly.
It's crazy to think about.
Wow. That's really crazy. To think about. Yeah. What year did you start?
A long time ago.
Long time ago.
Do you see all this gray hair? Yeah.
Long time ago. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's fun. I'm glad to do this each and every day. It's a blast. And Wednesday was the day of like multi-home run games because it seems like everybody is hitting two home runs. I think Turner just did it right before we started. And then as we got started here, Stanton just hit a second one. I mean, it's just...
Yes.
It's the day for multi-home runs. Maybe the sticky stuff is really gone.
I know it. I saw that. Finally, the Yankees are hitting the ball a little bit, which it seems like it's been a while since they've had some big upside. So, yeah, pretty cool.
I mean, it's definitely something that's interesting. I know it's been talked about a lot over the last few days on social media, by ESPN, by all that stuff. But, yeah. I mean, as someone that played baseball for a long time, if the ball is doing extra stuff, it's already hard to hit a baseball that's going 95 to 100 miles an hour. When it's going when it's doing other stuff, it's just like, all right, like I'm throwing my hands up. So exactly. It'd be interesting to see what happens over the next couple weeks.
Exactly.
But anyway, we are going to break down this slate and have some fun with it, you know. I mean, I wouldn't be too worried. Like, we saw Garrett Cole pitch. He's pitching phenomenal. Hopefully, I don't jinx him, but they're in, like, the fifth inning, and he's pitching phenomenal. So, I mean, I think pitchers that have done well for a long time are going to do well, and I'm not too concerned. But, I mean, some guys that have definitely kind of shown up. I'm looking at you, Robbie Ray, out of nowhere this season and pitch way better. It'll be really interesting to see how they do over the next couple weeks. But six games to break down today. Let's jump right in. We start with San Francisco at Washington, the only game that we are potentially watching some weather. It's Descofani against Scherzer. This game's at a 7 total. Washington, a 165 favorite. Any interest here in Descofani?
I really don't. I do notice that he is priced down, and, you know, he is someone that you could consider for a cheaper play on both DraftKings and FanDuel if you needed to. But I don't have a lot of interest in him personally. I definitely have interest in Scherzer on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like a worse spot for Descofani, but I also feel like he's not a guy that's going to go out and typically dominate games. Strikeout rate around 19%. Since the start of last season. So, I mean, I don't hate it. I don't love it. He's cheap, but I don't think this is a spot he's going to go out and put up 20 fantasy points. Max Scherzer on the other side. I mean, you know what you're getting from Max Scherzer. The guy's going to go out. He's going to strike people out. He's going to have a decent game. I think the Giants are very underrated as an offense in general. But I think Scherzer, obviously, when we're looking at this slate, he's the clear-cut top pitcher on this slate. I mean, sure, you can make an argument for Trevor Rogers facing Colorado in Miami, but I think Scherzer is the way to go if you're paying up on the slate.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. I think he, like you said, he's the clear cut. You know what you're getting, you know, high strikeout rate, you know, 36% strikeout rate. Yeah, he might give up a home run or two. And like you said, the Giants are very underrated this year. I mean, they certainly have put up a lot of runs and can give up home runs, and he might give up a home run or two. But yeah, definitely the best pitcher on the slate, in my opinion.
Any bats that you like here for San Francisco?
You know, I really don't think so. I mean, you know, if you're looking to maybe, you know, do a couple of one-offs, you could maybe, you know, pick off a couple of bats there, but I'm really not going to mess with that. I just think there's more, even though it's a 6-game slate, I just think there's other interests in some stacks that we'll get into a little bit later that I have interest in.
Yeah, I mean, you can always chase a home run against Scherzer, but yep, trying to pinpoint where that home run's going to come from is just absolutely impossible. So, I mean, Crawford at 3,500 at shortstop. If you're not paying up for one of the top shortstops, Crawford, I think he has 15 home runs in the season now. He's having a fantastic year. So if you want to save some money at shortstop, I always like Brandon Crawford. Yep. On the other side of this game, the Washington side, I mean, when you target Descofani, you want to target him with lefties. Anything stand out to you for Washington?
Yeah, I think with Washington, you know, you're looking at Soto and Schwarber, you know, Bell, some of those guys. But they may obviously make great plays. Schwarber, I know, is really, really cheap on DraftKings. And but yeah, I think those are the guys that you're looking to target too. And then throwing Trey Turner in there, of course, for your stacks as well.
Yeah, I think Juan Soto, obviously, one of the best plays on the slate. If Schwarber and Josh Bell are both in there, they're obviously good plays as well. I mean, Washington's one of those teams where you're going to have to wait and see what the lineup looks like. If Alex Avila is in there and he's batting like fifth or sixth, he's 3,100 at catcher. So, I mean, I definitely like the lefties more than the righties here for Washington.
Yep, I agree on that as well.
All right, moving on. We got Colorado at Miami facing off in this one. Gonzalez against Rogers. This game has a 7.5 total. Miami is a 190 favorite. Any interest here in Chichi Gonzalez?
No, I don't. I don't have any interest in him at all. I just don't even think I would use him as a cheap play or anything like that.
I mean, yeah, you know, Chichi Gonzalez, the guy is a pitch-to-contact guy, under 15% K rate since the start of last season, struggles to both sides of the plate. I mean, I don't think the Marlins are the worst stack on the slate, but, I mean, it's in Miami. I think that's the biggest drawback.
Yep.
On the other side of this game, we got Trevor Rogers, big favorite, at home, facing an offense that's kind of banged up. I have no problems rolling out Trevor Rogers here.
Yep, I agree. I like him a lot. I mean, he's got 29% K rate, 8.8% walk rate, 1.97 ERA. He's been a really, you know, pleasant surprise this year as a pitcher. So yeah, I think he rates 14th overall for strikeout rate. So yeah, being a big favorite in that game, certainly have interest. You know, anytime you get Colorado out of Coors, you know, they aren't quite as attractive. I mean, the only guy that probably really scares me a little bit is CJ Cron, but their lineup just, I think he can take care of them and get some strikeouts in there pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think this is clearly the best point per dollar play if you're not paying it for Scherzer. I'm going to do the best I can to try to play both of these guys. Yeah. Because honestly, I don't love any of the cheap guys today. I think they're all very iffy. If we knew Michael King was going to get more than like 75 pitches, I think he'd be a lot more interesting. And we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yes.
But overall, I mean, I don't think any of these cheap pitchers are great today. So I'm going to do the best I can to try to get Rodgers and Scherzer. And I think a lot of people will do that, but I think it's the right play. Any interest here in the Rockies bats?
I don't. You know, like I said, if, you know, if you're maybe picking out one or two, or if it's kind of a last piece for a build, you know, you can maybe use like a CJ Cron or something like that, but they're not someone that I'm really soliciting in my lineup. It'd just be more like a last piece.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I think that this is probably a spot that I don't end up on. I will say, if Rodgers is like super chalky and you want to take a shot on Trevor Story, because he's supposed to be back.
Is he supposed to be out? Yeah, I'm interested in him then too. Yeah.
But I honestly, on the other side, I don't know if he is going to come back either. Like, it's one more game in the series. I don't know if they rush him back here. They might just give him one more day. So we'll have to kind of see how that plays out in this one. Bats on the other side, the Miami side, any interest here in these guys?
On the Miami side?
Yep.
Yeah, Miami side, I do have interest. You know, they've been able to put up some points here too. I mean, I think even if you look at like Jesus Aguilar, Marte, Dickerson for cheap, you know, I don't think they make the worst stack in the world. Like you said, playing in Miami is a little bit of a downgrade, of course, but on a six-game slate, I certainly have interest in Miami stack.
Yeah, I think definitely a secondary stack. I don't know if I full man stack them in this game, but I mean, Marte, Chisholm, Aguilar, like Duvall, Dickerson, like all these guys are super playable against Chichi Gonzalez, and it will really, really depend on like how many cheap bats we get throughout the day. Because I want to pay up for pitching as much as possible here. So, all right, moving on. We got Houston at Boston, Zach Greinke against Eduardo Rodriguez, 9 total, pick 'em game. Any interest here in Zach Greinke?
You know, Greinke is a pitcher that I rarely play in DFS. And I know we probably talk a lot about the fact that, you know, he's a better real life pitcher than he is for DFS purposes. You know, his K rates, you know, 18% or so, has about a 5% walk rate, ERA 3.38. I just don't have a lot of interest in him. Like you said, if we're looking to pay up, to me, it's, you know, Scherzer and Rodgers today. So he's just not someone I have a lot of interest in.
I mean, as a Red Sox fan, I feel like this lineup is not great. Just overall, I also don't think Greinke has a huge ceiling. So, I mean, it is a six-game slate, and it's not like we have a ton of options under 8K. He's probably the best option under 8K, just looking at all the options down here. Yeah. And I think Frankie Montas is going to get some solid ownership facing Kansas City on this slate. So, I mean, if you're looking for a play to pivot, I mean, I think he's the play. But, I mean, don't get too excited about playing Zach Greinke. He's not like he's going to go out and strike out 10 people. You're just kind of hoping he pitches decent, picks up a win, and scores 20 fantasy points. I think that's what you are kind of hoping here from Greinke. And you're hoping that, like, Montas has, like, a blah game and scores 10.
Exactly. Yep, exactly right. Yeah, like you said, for a price play.
Eduardo Rodriguez on the other side, I mean, just Houston doesn't strike out against left-handed pitching. They don't strike out in general, but they just don't strike out against lefties. And I think Eduardo Rodriguez is a good pitcher. I think this matchup is absolutely terrible for any lefty in baseball. The dude has a 26% K rate. Faced this team a week ago, struck out 4 guys, gave up 6 earned runs. I mean, it's just not a good matchup for left-handed pitching.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, they don't strike out. I know they're putting up runs again tonight, but yeah, I mean, you look at that lineup, and you look at, you know, Altuve, Bregman. I mean, Gurriel is always underrated, profiles really, really well. Correa's been really hot. And then even the left-handed bats of Tucker and Alvarez in there too. I mean, their lineup is just so strong. And yeah, he's definitely not someone that I'd want to roll out there in front of that type of a lineup.
Let's talk Houston bats. Anything standing out to you for Houston?
Yeah, I like, you know, I always like just to get a little bit different with Houston. I do like the Houston bats quite a bit. You know, Bregman, Altuve, Correa, like I mentioned, and I like throwing Gurriel in there just to be a little bit different. And again, his numbers have been really, really solid this year. Just kind of an underrated player in my opinion. And then, you know, on DraftKings too, Tucker and Alvarez on the left-handed side, they're really, really cheap. I mean, they're in the 3Ks. So, you know, certainly have interest in all of those guys in different forms.
Yeah, I think Houston overall is probably too cheap here. You know, just the matchup on the road facing Boston, getting nine innings. I mean, I just feel like overall this team is, I mean, I think they're just too cheap. So, yeah, let's go to the Boston side of things. Anything standing out to you for Boston?
Yeah, I think with Boston, you know, I mean, I always have interest in Devers. You know, I think he's someone, you know, I think he's still priced pretty reasonably too on FanDuel and such. So, you know, yeah, could certainly see, you know, using him or maybe JD and Bogarts or, you know, maybe doing a 2-3 man stack or so. But yeah, I could see using a few bats against Greinke.
I mean, it's just like Verdugo's banged up now too. I mean, the Red Sox lineup is just it's really Devers, Bogarts, JD Martinez. I mean, that is the lineup. Mm-hmm. So the problem with three-man stacking those guys is they're all over 5K, and it's not like we have a punt pitcher to play. So while I don't think they're in bad spots here going up against Greinke, I also feel like, how do I really play them and get the pitching I want on this slate?
Right.
I mean, we live in a salary cap world.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. It makes it very challenging.
All right, Toronto at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. We got Ryu against Keuchel, 8.5 total. Toronto, a very slight favorite here. Ryu is 9,700 facing a team that's very good against left-handed pitching. Any interest in him in this spot?
You know, I know. That's the thing. The White Sox do very well against left-handed pitching, although I know they've had a couple matchups recently that they haven't produced quite as much. I do respect him as a pitcher, and, you know, I could see taking a shot on him. I was trying to see his price again is, what is he? He's the second highest priced pitcher on DraftKings. I don't know. I'd rather go Scherzer and Rogers, but, you know, I suppose as a tournament play, you know, you could certainly include him in the mix. Certainly has potential 23% strikeout rate. So yeah, I mean, he's not someone I'm targeting in some of my main single entry contests, but if you're looking to get a little different, you could certainly use him.
I mean, yeah, I think he's, I think obviously he's going to come in at the lowest ownership of three between Scherzer, Ryu, and Rogers. Yep. I think he's also the worst play out of those three, but I mean, it's baseball, it's high variance. Anything is possible. Especially when it comes to baseball. And I know we talk about that a lot in any other sport, but I mean, baseball has one of the highest variances. Like, you could be Randy Johnson and give up 10 runs in a start. I mean, I don't know if he ever did that in his career, and it would help my argument, but I'm just saying, anything's possible here. So I think Ryu, a guy that has good strikeout stuff, limits power to both sides of the plate. If he can get through, I mean, Abreu, Anderson, we really don't have a large enough sample size to say Vaughn yet, but he is one of those righties that you're kind of worried about. I mean, there are some strikeouts here. So I think Ryu, if he's going to be 15-20% on a six-game slate with really only three options at the top, I think you have to have some exposure to him.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, really, if you can just get through a couple of those bats like Abreu and like you said, Vaughn, we really don't know yet. But yeah, there's definitely strikeouts to be had. And with, yeah, if he's going to be very low owned, he's certainly intriguing.
Dallas Keuchel on the other side. I like playing left-handed pitching against Toronto, but Dallas Keuchel's not good.
Dallas Keuchel is not good at all. Yeah. I mean, just look at his strikeout rate, 12%. I mean, high ERA. Yeah. High walk rate. Yeah, exactly. He's just not good. And he's someone you're looking to stack against.
Yeah, like, all right, let's just looking at the numbers. This dude has a 14% K rate since the start of last season. Facing all these righties, you beat Toronto by being able to overpower them. He's not going to do that. They got a lot of guys that hit the ball up in the air. Marcus Semien, Teoscar Hernandez, Vlad. This is a spot that I'm definitely staying away from Keuchel, and I think Toronto is one of the top stacks on the slate.
I couldn't agree more. Yep, they were one of the top stacks when I was kind of looking at breaking things apart too. I agree. And there's actually some cheap Toronto bats in the outfield, you know, on DraftKings that I think are super intriguing. But yeah, going against Keuchel, I mean, just, you know, having Vlad and Bichette and Semien and, you know, Teoscar. And, I mean, yeah, they're just loaded with a lot of bats that profile really good against Keuchel.
The White Sox bats, I mean, you can always play the White Sox against any lefty, especially in tournaments. I don't love them today, but I mean, I wouldn't argue you playing them.
Right. On a 6-game slate. Yeah. If they're going to be a lower owned stack, certainly you want to have a look, but at first glance, looking at all the 6 games that are out there, they certainly didn't make my top list of teams that I wanted to stack after tomorrow's slate.
All right, cruising right along here. We got the Yankees and the Twins. No total in this game right now. It's the only game on the slate we don't have a total for. It's Hap against King. We really don't know what we're looking for here from Michael King. You know, he threw 5 innings last time out. He was pitching really good and threw 66 pitches, and they yanked him. Got into a little bit of trouble, and they're like, you're done. So I would max him out at 75 pitches. He hasn't thrown more than 69 pitches yet this season. I max him out at like 75. I think that's an absolute ceiling for him.
Yep. I agree. Exactly right. And so, yeah, he's just, you know, he's not someone that you're looking to play as a pitcher. He's someone that you're going to look for. Definitely look for some bats against.
Hap on the other side, it's a lefty facing the Yankees. It's a lefty that really can't overpower the Yankees. We saw them absolutely light up Minnesota on Wednesday. I think it's going to be the same thing here. Hap doesn't strike guys out. He struggles against righties, and this is a right-handed heavy lineup with a lot of power.
Yep, exactly. You know, as much as we love Toronto, I'd say Yankees are one of my top stacks as well. I mean, and just seeing what they're doing again tonight, I mean, they've been starting to, I know, I think it was last night, they were really starting to hit the ball hard. It didn't necessarily show up in the stats, but I think, yeah, exactly. Stanton, Judge, Torres, Gleyber Torres, LeMahieu. I mean, Andujar has been crushing the ball too. He bats, you know, deeper in the lineup a little bit too. But yeah, they've got a lot of potential there to put up a ton of runs than Hap tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a stack that's right up there. DJ LeMahieu's up there with like one of the top, if not the top plays on the slate at 4,200. Some of the sites have the Yankees even cheaper than DraftKings. I mean, they're going to be popular, and I think that's the biggest concern is just playing like the – I think they're going to be the chalkiest stack on the slate.
Yep.
But, I mean, for good reason.
Yeah,
this is a great spot. And, like, if we get weather in the Washington game and we can't play Scherzer, everybody's going to stack the Yankees at these prices. So, I mean, you could zig when everybody zags, but, I mean, this is a great spot for them.
Yes, exactly.
Minnesota, I mean, it's not like King is necessarily a bad pitcher and the Yankees bullpen is really good. And it's like when you look at Minnesota, sure, you could play Donaldson and Cruz, Kirloff, but I mean, this is not a team that I go out of my way to stack against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah, they just don't have a lot of Minnesota's really been struggling. I mean, they've had some really good matchups too lately and just haven't really come through. I mean, maybe as a one-off, someone that I really do like is Trevor Larnach. And I think, you know, he's someone that has looked pretty good and have interest if he's, you know, maybe in the lineup. But yeah, like you said, it's not like he's a terrible pitcher, and definitely more interest on the Yankee side of the stack.
All right, cruising along. We finished it out with Kansas City at Oakland. Mike Minor, Frankie Montas, 8 total. Oakland a 162 favorite here. Any interest here in Mike Minor?
I don't, and I was just kind of looking at him too. He's what, the 4th highest pitcher. He's 8,400 on DraftKings. You know, he has a pretty good strikeout rate, 26%, but you know, high walk rate, high ERA, going up against the A's there. So I don't, he's not someone that I have a lot of interest in for tomorrow.
If they roll out that like left-handed heavy lineup with Olsen, Moreland, and Brown, and even Kemp, ton of interest in Mike Minor. If they go right-handed heavy, which they can, zero interest in Minor. Unless Max Scherzer game gets rained out, and in that case, I think Minor is an interesting play regardless. But it will be really interesting to see, you know, if Pinder's in there. I forget who else they have right-handed bats. I'm mind blanking. Piscotty. If they start throwing these righties in there, like Mike Minor, elite against lefties. Mike Minor, below average against righties. High fly ball rate, high hard hit rate, good strikeout stuff, but gives up a lot of power. I mean, I think that you're just going to have to kind of see what the lineup looks like if you're wanting to play Mike Minor.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I know Matt Chapman hasn't played quite as well as we were used to seeing him play. But
you can say it. He's been terrible.
He's just been terrible.
Ice cold.
Yes. Ice cold, been batting down in the lineup. So, you know, if he was playing up to his potential and things like that, yeah, it might look a little bit different. But yeah, it, like you said, it does depend on what they roll out, if it's a left-handed heavy or a right-handed heavy lineup for tomorrow.
And then on the other side, I mean, Montas, I think he's going to be pretty popular here going up against Kansas City. It's not a great offense. This game's in Oakland. I mean, I don't want to play a chalky Frankie Montas, even in a good matchup. It's so hard to pull the trigger on a guy that's going to be massive chalk here. It's just, you beat him with lefties, and Santana and Benintendi are really the only lefties in this lineup. And it's just like, what do I do? Because I mean, the lineup is bad. Playing a chalky Frankie Montas sounds terrible. What are your thoughts when it comes to Frankie Montas?
Yeah, I do have interest in him, just like what you said. Like, they just really don't have a lot for left-handed bats. I mean, yeah, Benintendi and Santana. I mean, that's really it. And, you know, you kind of work around those players. But I know, wish he wasn't going to be quite as chalky. But, yeah, I certainly have interest, you know. And I think if you use a guy like him in your lineups, you're really going to try to look different or get different with your bats to kind of compensate for that.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Doesn't it, though? It just sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. Montas shock.
I'm telling you. It sounds terrible. Kansas City bats. If Frankie Montas is going to be, like, super popular here on a 6-game slate, I will definitely have a Kansas City stack. It doesn't feel great because, like I said, you beat him with lefties. The good thing is, like, the lefties are cheap. Benintendi's 39. Santana's 43. So, I mean, this is definitely a spot you could look at these guys.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Kansas City, they've had some good matchups lately where they put up some runs and strung together some good games and things like that. So, yeah, like you said, if he's going to be really chalky, that's the way to do it, is get a Kansas City stack in there and just hope that not only the lefties, but some of the other players come through as well.
As far as Oakland goes, I mean, it's all going to depend on what the lineup looks like. Again, like if they roll out this right-handed heavy lineup with Pinder and Piscotty, even with Chapman struggling throughout his career, he's been much better against lefties. Murphy, Kana, like I don't mind Oakland here if it's going to be very right-handed heavy, but also respecting the fact that like Mike Minor is a solid pitcher.
Yep, exactly. I look at it the same way. I mean, Kana's been having a really, really good season. You know, definitely have interest in him, you know, regardless. I mean, Matt Olson, obviously, it's a lefty-lefty matchup, but he's been great. But, yeah, other than that, and then, of course, there's always some pinch hit risk, too, with some of those guys. But, yeah, I guess we have to just kind of wait and see what they roll out for a lineup to see kind of how we approach that tomorrow.
Let's play the morning grind game, and then we're going to get out of here. Quick, easy, 6-game slates. Always fun. Favorite pitcher under 8,000 on DraftKings to get 6 or more strikeouts today. Who do you got?
under 8K on DraftKings to get six or more strikeouts. I am going to go with, I guess I'm going to go with Greinke.
Yeah, I mean, I think Greinke, Rodriguez, and Zescofani are probably the only three that I think have the potential to get there. If we knew Michael King was going to pitch enough pitches, he could potentially get there.
Yep.
I'm going to go Descofani. I almost went King. I just don't think he's going to throw enough pitches. Over 8K to go under 15 fantasy points. Who's your bust today?
My bust, I am going to go... I'm going to go minor, actually, for a bust.
I'm going to stay in that game. I'm going to go Frankie Montas just because I think the other three guys easily get over 15 points. Over 4K to hit a home run today. Who do you got?
Over 4K to hit a home run. I am going to go with I'm going to go with Stanton again. Once he kind of gets hot, he gets hot.
That is true. I'm going to stay in that game and go Aaron Judge. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bat that you're liking to get two hits today?
Yeah, so under 4K, I am going to say there's a couple guys I kind of liked. I am going to actually say Yordan Alvarez.
All right, I can get behind that. I'm going to go Ben Attendi against Montas. I'm going to stay on the fade Montas train for now. Stack to score six or more runs. Who do you got?
I'm going Yankees.
Shocker.
Shocker. Gotta go
Yankees. I'll go Blue Jays, I guess. I mean, it's a low strikeout pitcher facing a very, very good lineup. I'm going to go Blue Jays. Any bets standing out to you here night before?
Let's see here. If you have any, feel free. I'm just kind of looking to see.
I mean, honestly, looking at it like night before, there's not a lot that stands out to me. I think you're wanting to see what the Yankees line comes out to. I think that's going to be a pretty high scoring game, Yankee side especially. So, like, that might be a game that, like, you take Yankees minus 1.5, and if it's close to even money, you feel pretty good about it. So, I would be looking at something along those lines.
The Red Sox-Houston game at 9 seems like the over on that game seems kind of juicy, too.
And I do like the Houston side a little bit more than the Red Sox side.
Yeah, I do too. I definitely do the Houston side, you know, a little bit better on that too, because I do think they have a lot of potential to put up some points tomorrow there.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I don't. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for a six game slate, I think it's a pretty good one. I think there's still some good ways to get different and a little bit contrarian. So yeah, I mean, I kind of think it's a good slate, and yeah, good doing the show again with you as always, Stevie.
I mean, I think it's interesting because there's so many different ways that you can go on this slate. And I think that's what makes this slate so much fun for a four-game slate.
Yeah.
Pitching, I feel like, is really kind of locked in. There's only a few options that you really feel good about. But, I mean, exactly. we talked about like four or five stacks that we like on a six-game slate. You know, you're not going to see that very often. So I think that's where the slate becomes very interesting, is more on the hitter side of things. So
yeah, exactly right.
All right. That's going to wrap it up here for Thursday. Christy, always appreciate you coming on, talking some baseball here. We'll be back on Friday talking some more baseball with my boy, Chief Justice 06. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.